Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Want to welcome you this morning and welcome you to service and a wonderful day with several being baptized into Christ today. We are in our second week of a six-week series, Lessons from the Bible in a Year. Our church, as a church, we're reading through the Bible in a year, the entire Bible or New Testament, Old Testament. If you're a guest today or you're part of the church and haven't started that, out in our Welcome Center are the March Daily Bible Readings. I encourage you to start that because the Bible reminds us in Psalm 119 that God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And I have personally experienced and I know that you and I cannot get through life as God intended without the guidance of His Word, of His Spirit, because His Word is here because He loves us. His Holy Spirit is available to all of us who will call upon His name and accept Him and follow His example of baptism. And so being in God's Word is important. And there's one surefire way. If I want to get off track with my life, it's to ignore God's Word or to not make God's Word a priority. Last week, we were in Mark chapter 5. Our New Testament readings, we're in the Gospel of Mark right now. Mark was the first gospel written and just full of hope and of life and of wisdom as God's Word is alive and active. And we asked last week, our challenge was, what are you doing with your life? What ministry are you doing? What part are you doing? Are you living out your call to follow Jesus? And not just by being good and by being in church, but you're called as a believer to do ministry. With Easter coming up, it reminds me that Easter was the fulfillment of Jesus' life on earth, the fulfillment of His ministry. And let me ask you today that if you passed on and went home today, would you feel like you have fulfilled your ministry and your purpose here on earth? Because if you haven't, it's never too late to start, praise God. That is our God. It is never too late with Him. There is grace available for all of us if we will call upon His name. And so this week, I was in Mark again. If you have your Bibles or anything around you, turn to Mark chapter 7. You can use your device, whatever. If you don't have a Bible, find one around you. And actually, if you don't have a Bible before you leave today, in this corner is our resource center. Please feel free to take any of the Bibles or books. Those are our gift to you. Take anything you would like from there. That is our gift to you. We want to thank you for being here today. And if this is your church, same to you. Take anything you want that you think would be good for you. So Mark chapter 7, this is a passage that I have read so many times, and I truly think that God gave us a different kind of look and take on this today. In Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, let's go ahead and read it. I'll read it with you. It says, "And the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to Jesus, having come from Jerusalem." The Pharisees were some of the religious rulers. "Now when they saw some of the disciples eat bread with defiled," that is, unwashed hands, "they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked Jesus, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the tradition of men." That is such a challenging passage to me. Is my life and is your life of a believer, are you more worried about the Word of God and what it says and God's rules and ways and wonderful holy statutes, etc., or is it the traditions of men? Is it what people think? Is it what you want to do with your life? And as we talk about and kind of continue to go forward from last week, every believer is called to do ministry. And if we can be a church with every person here who's called on the name of the Lord, who comes and this is your church, if we're really concerned with doing ministry and living out our purpose in Jesus Christ and going into eternity that way, and if we're more concerned with that than we are our own agendas and lives, what a phenomenal impact we will have in the lives of those around us in our community. See, here the religious people were so concerned with the law, with being perfect and everything being spotless and following every rule, that they missed the forest for the trees. They lost sight. Their traditions and their holier-than-thou attitudes. Now, being holy is good and important, but their holier-than-thou attitudes rendered them almost useless for the kingdom of God. Now, for you and I here today, I want to start out by asking you, what's keeping you from hearing that still small voice? There are all kinds of things, good and bad. I think sin is probably number one. When you have willful sin in your life, which is sin that you continue to do over and over, and you know it's wrong because the Word of God says it's wrong, the world will tell you it's right and okay. When you have that in your life, God's not going to hear your prayers. You're going to be separated from God by your sin. You don't have to be. You don't have to be, but sin's a big one. Technology is not bad, but when we're always so plugged into all of our devices and television and on and on and on, that numbs us. I don't sit at Jesus' feet. I don't get quiet time when I've constantly... I saw a study. I think it was like 60-something percent of Americans sleep with their cell phone within reach. Now, I'm not saying that's inherently bad, but I'm saying it's indicative of where we are, really. Let's be honest. And when we're always so plugged in and so concerned, it definitely keeps us, I believe, from the Lord. Work can be something. It can be even family sometimes. Whatever it might be. Guys, it is so dangerous to ignore God. It's so dangerous to never sit at His feet. And listen, God calls us to assemble together, not just on Sunday morning, but this right here is I won't go into what Sunday morning is, but this is not you at Jesus' feet. You at Jesus' feet is just you and Him. It's just you and Him, and you need that time, and I need that time. Because God is always calling. He's always talking to us when we're listening. For everyone here today, God, if you're already saved and you've been baptized into Jesus, praise the Lord. But if you have not been saved and given your life to the Lord and turned from your sin and given Him your heart and your life, you are missing out on God's perfect purpose for your life, and you're in danger of missing out on an eternity with Him. And so what happens so often is what we do as people, and even as believers, and maybe you're not saved this morning, and the reason for that is you probably weigh the cost. Gosh, if I actually came to that altar, what would people think if I came and prayed? Or man, what would I have to change in my life? I'd have to maybe even give up a relationship that I know is not right. Or what would I have to do to answer the call of Jesus in my life? And if you're here this morning and you're a believer, things get into our lives that can hold us back. We have to be very careful to not always just weigh the cost, because we know that God's way is perfect and best and worth it. And so often as Christians, and I don't want to be offensive this morning, but sometimes we get into that warm and fuzzy spot where we want the crown, but we don't want the cross. Think about that. I want the crown. I want God's grace. I want His amazing grace. How sweet this sound. I want His mercy. I want His blessings. I want to know I'm going to heaven. I could go on all day. And God's promises, guys, never forget. His greatest promises you'll never see in this life, because eternity is our home. In heaven with Him is our home. And the Bible says that is unimaginable. And what in the world do you think in your life is worth risking missing that for? Because I can tell you it's nothing. And so often we want the crown but not the cross. And Jesus tells us, and we'll read the verse later, that we have to take up our cross and follow Him. And our cross is often, sometimes it's self-denial. Sometimes it's hard. It's giving something up. We have to understand that we are told to pick up our cross and to follow Him. Romans says that we are to share in Jesus' sufferings. And we worship Jesus. And He is our Lord and Savior. He's the Son of God, the Messiah. And don't forget, if He wasn't exempt from some trouble in this life, neither will we be. But so often we don't want that. And as believers this morning, let me tell you, one of the biggest spiritual battles, and I face it too, is if I don't go real deep in my faith, if I don't really dive into the Word and try to get rid of my sin and fight against my flesh and my sin, if I don't go very deep, I oftentimes also don't get the trials. If I just keep things just hunky-dory, I don't want to go real deep. I don't want to pray dangerous prayers, God, use me. Then I feel like that's safe. And God loves you, God wants the best from you, but following Jesus is not necessarily always safe. We have to be careful to not be like the Pharisees, who were so concerned with their religion that they weren't concerned with being used or doing ministry. And so when our missionaries, I think it was Chris, could have been Corey, they were here a couple weeks ago, there's a quote I had seen, they used it. I want to put it up again, it's such a phenomenal quote. It says, in order for good news to be good, like the gospel is good, it must invade bad space. And so I'm never going to preach, and God would never say sin, compromise, whatever. But guys, we can be so caught up, and I would never go there or talk to that person or engage here. And this is kind of, we get so concerned about engaging our culture that is so far from God. So far from God. I played in a softball tournament yesterday, and I mean to tell you, if you want to learn how to curse and learn dirty jokes, go play in a softball tournament. I don't love that language. But you know what? I'm also supposed to be in the world, not of it. So you didn't hear me cuss, but I'm going to be that Christian who's like, I don't like this language. I'm going home. I'm not going to do that. What does that say to people? I think I'm better than them? No, I'm just saved by God's grace. And so we must be willing to invade bad spaces and engage. And you know what? Sometimes it'll be uncomfortable to do ministry. He calls us, and we just think we can always do ministry and live our lives out as believers on our terms. And I don't believe that's what Jesus modeled for us. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is predicting his arrest and a betrayal, arrest, and his death. He's preparing the disciples, telling them this is not going to be easy. And this is where in 16:24-25, he talks about losing our life for his sake. There's not a one of you in here today who's not going to lose your life. Remember, this is all about eternity. This life is 80, 90 years if you're lucky. But man, eternity is forever, and God wants you home with him one day. He wants your soul saved and you to live for him. That's what all the trials of life are about. That's what all the hardships in life are about. That's what our church is about. That's what my life as a believer is about, is leveraging whatever I have into trying to be a part of seeing lost people saved. And that's what we're trying to be about as a church. Understand, there's a spiritual battle, and it's not always going to be easy to do ministry and to be in ministry. And if you're a believer, you're supposed to be in ministry. God loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He loves the lost so much. He wants them to come to know him. It aches and pains his heart. So today we're going to go over four things about the call to follow Jesus Christ. And these are four things that if we can so often miss if we're so concerned about just keeping the status quo, about our comfort, about I want to be a Christian, I want to be a good person, I want to go to heaven, but hey, it's kind of on my terms. I know what this means. I'll be good. I'll come to church. Those are great. But are you doing ministry? And if you were called home today, today was your last, would you feel like you've accomplished your purpose? And I want to just say again, remember, you are saved by God's amazing grace. God's love for you. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus. Excuse me. God's love is immeasurable. If you've not experienced it, I don't have the words. I can just encourage you that the Lord will talk to your heart today while you're here, and you might come and pray for Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. I promise all of us Christians, we are not crazy. I have lived most of my life without the Lord, and I would never, ever want to go back to that. Never. But here's the thing about the call to follow Jesus Christ. Number one, it's not on our terms. We can't say yes to Jesus, and I want to be saved, and I want to be forgiven, but there's no buts. His grace is free. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you are, what you believe, don't believe. You can be saved. You can have eternal life today. But it's not on your terms. It's on God's terms. It's on his terms. Some here this morning, maybe you haven't given your life to Jesus, or you know you're living in sin, but you figure you'll deal with it later when it's convenient. You can't do that because the call is on his terms. It is dangerous to ignore the Holy Spirit of God. When he says, let's go, we have to be willing. Or maybe you're here today and you're like, I'll get saved someday. Guys, that's gambling with your eternity. That is dangerous. There's nothing more dangerous you'll ever do than gamble with your eternity. If you're saved here this morning, I want to say this in love, but I want us to be careful of this. Sometimes we get in seasons of life where we've been saved and sanctified so long that we're stale. That we've been saved and sanctified so long that we're stale. That we're not really committing sins. We're still not perfect, but I'm like, I don't really have much sin in my life. And then we begin to lose that appreciation for God's grace. We begin to lose and forget what maybe God has pulled us through, or how much he's forgiven us from, and how he tells us to love people that way and to deal with people that way. We have to be careful. And I want God to use me until I breathe my last breath, and that needs to be your heart as well. Otherwise, he may as well call you home. And just remember that God is always, always on the lookout for people who are hungry for more. Well, what's more? To be used, to be a part, to love people more, to serve people more, to be a part of the church, to be a part of going out and living out your lives and living out your faith. That's what God is on the lookout for. If you're here today and you're being baptized today, I want to encourage you that, again, this is the beginning, not an end. This is the start of your new life in Christ, of being baptized into his death and resurrection into eternal life. There's a tendency that I've checked it off the list. This is just the beginning of an incredible, wonderful journey. And if you're here this morning and you're bargaining with God, well, I would get saved, but, or I would serve if, or I would tithe if, or I'd forgive if. It is dangerous to bargain with God. It is dangerous to bargain with God. The call is not on our terms. We are to follow him wherever he leads us. We are to follow him wherever he leads us. The second thing this morning is the call to follow Jesus is a call also to lay something down. See, there is not anybody here today who doesn't maybe have something we couldn't lay down for the sake of our call. Jesus said, come after me and deny yourself. And so, you know, I'm very convicted about that even this morning, about what I might need to deny myself. What thing or what attitude or what part of my life is holding me back? And for you, when I said that, something came into your head, some of you, and you're like, oof. And then some of you where that happened, maybe it's a sin you're living in, something, but then you do the thing. Your flesh is really good about thinking about something else or changing the subject or whatever it might be. What do you need to maybe lay down? Because see, we want to have control of our life, but control is an illusion. I want to ask you, what's holding you back today? Because there might be something or some things you just need to lay down. Whatever it's on your heart about that, it's not a great idea to ignore God. In verse 25 again, Jesus said, if we try to hold on, we're going to lose. So we may as well just be willing to lose for his sake. And if you give him your life, if you haven't, you will find true life. Our third point from the verses this morning and about this passage that made me think about every believer's call to Christ and call to do ministry is our call is a call to lift something up. It's a call to action, to do. The call to follow Christ is a call to do. We've got to pick up the cross in this life. When Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, the historians will tell you the physical ability of Jesus after what he went through and the beating to be able, even though he had help, to be able to carry that cross at all it's one of the miracles of Jesus. And for some of you here today, there are things in your life you think you can't overcome or get over or move on past or give up. Let me tell you, with God, all things are possible. You can be forgiven. You can find new life. You can have healing. You can move forward if you're willing to answer the call of Christ. If you're willing to say, you know what? I'm not going to hold anything back, Lord. Jesus, I am yours. Just take my life. If you've never heard my testimony, that was me. There I was in a federal prison camp at 30 years old, and I had held back on my life so many times and tried to be forgiven and prayed and come to the altar. And one time I finally said, I am done. God, I am yours. Take me, use me. And God said, all right, remember your call to ministry? You're going to serve in ministry the rest of your life. And I thought, okay, well, can I retract that? But I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. I trust you, God. And God is faithful. God is so good. Let me tell you, it is a miracle I'm standing here preaching today. And there's a miraculous place that you can be at a day from today or a week from today or a month from today or a year from today if you will just stop it and give your life back to Jesus. That is truth. That's the most true thing, apart from God's word, that we will say this morning. You can look back and be like, wow, look at what the Lord has done and is doing in my life. If we're willing to give something up and to do and take action. Our fourth and final point goes right on past that, is that when you do that, if you're a believer, if you're willing to be, you have a call on your life to live something out. Every day. And sometimes it will be tough, but you've got to trust God completely again. You've got to trust him that his word is right and obeying it is worth it. So if God is calling you this morning, where are you at? What are you willing to let go of? What cross are you willing to take up? What burden are you willing to bear in order to follow and to have the life that God wants you to have? That's my heart's cry for this morning, is that there's a miraculous, abundant, full life, a place that it's all about eternity. But even in this life, God can give you double for your trouble, the Bible says. God can bring you out of. God can redeem you from. God can. Some of you might have situations right now, you're like, there is no chance there's anything good going to come of this. I have been there, done that. But with our God, yes, there is. Trust me. No. Trust him. Trust him that he can forgive, he can redeem, he can do, because he is faithful and he is worthy. Jesus, again, in chapter 7, when he said these words, and I want to just prepare to close with this morning. Let's be careful that we're not hypocrites. Let's be careful that we're honoring God with our heart and not just with trying to play the game. Let's understand that our worship needs to be authentic. Let's understand that of all the commandments of man, of all the stuff that our flesh brings to us, of all the ways of the world, of all of our own ways, none of those are worth staying away from and not accepting Christ, not giving our heart back to Him, not praying, not humbling ourselves. See, we're going to open the altar in a moment and come and pray, and you can pray anytime because of what Jesus did, but there's something special about Sunday morning. And I'll say it again, if you're unwilling to come up here and pray in front of a bunch of church people, you're not going to go out there and do much at all, I promise you. And sometimes I have to remind myself that Jesus says, Micah, He says, if you're ashamed of me in front of people, I'll be ashamed in front of you in front of my Heavenly Father. I want you to think about that with your life right now. Does your life show that you're ashamed of Jesus, or that He is the Savior of your life and of your soul? That He is who you are about. That He has forgiven you and He forgives you. That He loved you and that He loves you. And if you're not experiencing that today, you don't know what you're missing. Would you stand with me as we prepare to sing? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? I just want to ask, what's holding you back? Because here's our closing thought for today. If you continue to draw, just like the woman at the well, if you continue to draw, and by draw I mean find satisfaction, find contentment, find life's good enough, find I don't want to change, find this is what I'm shooting for. If you continue to draw from anything other than the giver of life, Jesus Christ, you'll continue to be empty. You'll continue to go back to that well of that sexual sin or that addiction or that greed or that lust or that pride or whatever it is that we all deal with, and you will be left empty time and time and time and time again. If you continue to go back to that well of pornography, you'll continue to feel guilty and you'll continue to understand how damaging that is on your life. If you continue to go back to the well of anything other than Jesus Christ, you will remain empty. But the great thing is, He says, if you come to me and drink from me, if you take me as your Savior, as the bread of life in your life, and I'm the one who fills you and sustains you, and I'm what your life becomes about, you will finally be satisfied and find what you're looking for. And as we sing this morning, I'm just going to simply ask this. If that's where you're at, the altar's open and someone will come and pray with you. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray now, Lord, we will respond. And Lord, if anyone right now, Lord, their heart is being pulled at, let them know, because you love them so much, it's dangerous to ignore, Lord, that supernatural, special, Lord, tugging of your Spirit on their heart. And I pray they would respond this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.